I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang.
Oh, yes. What a song. What a song. I hope you like that. I will finish that up at the end of the program. A great broadcast, telecast today. Let me tell you what we're talking about. 15 reasons why I am dedicated to praying in the Spirit. 15 reasons why I am dedicated to praying in the Spirit. Now, we're going to talk about this whole business of prayer today, the power of prayer, the magnificent power of prayer, the mighty power of prayer when there are saints of God praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. We as a church world today are lacking, terribly lacking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Most churches don't want any invasion into their service that the pastor doesn't have perfect control of. They don't want anything that is of a level above the natural and above the normal of the flesh. Well, the early church turned the world upside down because they knew how to pray. I said the early church turned the world upside down because they knew how to pray. And all you got to do is go back in church history and find the Dwight L. Moody's or the Charles Finney's and even Billy Graham in the early days of his ministry and other ministries around this globe. The great revivals Hebrides Island, South Africa, other revivals, Yale University. They were wrought by the power of prayer. Praying in the Spirit, praying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. And those kind of praying people turn their world around and turn their world often upside down. And if there is a need in America, it is a need for a band of prayer warriors, of God-fearing prayer warriors. Not this kind of praying that most churches do today that does little results. I'm for any kind of praying, good praying that's in the name of Jesus anywhere under any basis. And I would encourage it. I wouldn't be critical of it at all, other than to say it is praying in the Spirit that turns the world upside down and changes the course of history. It was one great queen who literally cried out and declared the power of the praying people, and how she was more afraid of that than she was of anything else. Now, hear me when I tell you, the power of prayer is magnificent. The power of prayer is magnificent. And I hope everybody is getting this message today. We're here to do our best to bring you a message that will change your life. Literally, change your life. So praying in the Spirit. I'm 100% given to praying in the Spirit. And I hope you understand that. Now, I've got an article today that I'm going to make available. And at the head of that article is 15 reasons why I am committed to praying in the Spirit. 15 reasons. In just a few minutes, I'm going to read them to you so you can pick up on them if you would like to ask a question about any of these reasons why I, as a Spirit-filled minister, believe in praying in the Spirit. Not own. Somebody says we're not own. Well, I have no way of knowing why we're not own. Everything is own here. And so somebody needs to get his own somewhere else, and I hope they will. I can do nothing that I'm not doing. I promise you that. Everything is on here, and they're saying we're not on. Somebody turn his own somewhere. Whatever's going on, get his own, okay? Bless your name. Well, we've got a great program here, and I'm on, and the computer in front of me is on, and you know, what else can I do but say to the best of my ability, we are on, and I trust we are recording. Let me check that and make sure we are recording. Are we on now? Let me know out there if we are on. Somehow, you know, it's possible that one of my buttons can get turned off. Are we on, ladies? Let me hear from you. Hey, listen, praying in the Spirit is a mighty power. Praying in the Spirit is a mighty power. Praying in the Spirit is a mighty power. And I am 100% given to praying in the Spirit. I'm 100% given. Hey, folks, help us somewhere, wherever it is, radio or internet. We are on here, and that I've documented. And so all I can do is carry on. Now, let me give you the numbers to call us today. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then the local number is 1-800-338-7884. Somewhere, somebody didn't have his own right. I don't know who it was, but I know I was on, and that's what counts. Hey, God bless you. What a joy to do radio broadcasts. I am a radio person, and I love it. And of course, I love internet. I love the telecasting all over the world. Hey, folks, listen to me. Wherever you are hearing me at, I want to tell you something. If ever we've got to have a band of prayer warriors, we have got to have a band of prayer warriors. The need has never been greater. The need has never been greater. And thank the Lord we are on now. Everything's fine. And you may call our office here, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I don't know what I've got ringing in my room here, but it's not supposed to. It's not supposed to be ringing in here, but call us quickly, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. Now, let me go back and start where I began, and you were not hearing me. The greatest need of the hour is prayer warriors. I am committed. I have before me in an article I'm making available to you today 15 reasons why I am committed. I am dedicated to praying in the Spirit. 15 reasons why I am dedicated to praying in the Spirit. And I mean, I am dedicated to it. I am doing my best to stay before God meaningful time every day and every night and staying on my face. And I'm calling on you. Now listen, the Republican Party is in a do or die fight. I mean, literal warfare between different political forces. You've got the establishment in Washington and in state offices that are determined to control the election or the nominee of the Republican Party, and that's become a fight. And I, you know, I'm wondering where it's going to turn. If we don't have prayer warriors, I have no idea. I am praying and crying out to the great God Jehovah with all this in me, because I'm committed to my nation, and I'm committed to the Church of Jesus Christ, and I'm committed to people around this globe who are suffering intently. This week it really got a hold of me of the many Christians, professing Christians, who are being martyred, who are being killed. This week they were putting them in caskets, closing, locking up the casket, and then setting them on fire and burning them alive in the caskets. They're being beheaded. They're being crucified. They're being butchered. Women are being raped. We've got a world gone completely bonkers. I mean, this world has gone crazy. I'm here to tell you, we're so near the rapture and the coming of the Lord. It's the most wonderful thing. Let me tell you what's wrong with much of politics. Much of politics is driven by false theologies. When you have politics in a nation like America that's driven by false theologies, how do you get the right results? Well, you don't. So many of the candidates running for president on the Republican side are either Catholics or evangelicals who are given to a postmillennialism. They're not looking for the rapture. They're not looking for a tribulation period. They're not looking for Jesus Christ to come and reign and set up his kingdom on this earth from Jerusalem. They don't understand the role of the Jews. They don't understand the defense of Israel and how that is absolutely upon us as a nation to be committed to. And so you've got many factors that come out of bad theologies that can affect politicians in the wrong direction. I will never forget, I was in Babylon early in Bush's last 8 years. I was in Babylon, and I had the invitation to speak at the Presbyterian Church there, which was the largest church in the city of Babylon, in the country of Iraq. And I got in that pulpit that morning, and God anointed me to preach to those people. Well, I no more than got home until there was a representative of George Bush that had been in the church that morning, and he raked me over the coals for the theology that I preached to those dear people in the church there in Babylon. In Baghdad. And I was amazed when I got this letter. And I thought, no wonder George Bush didn't really complete his term with the right strength or the right victories. He had the wrong people biblically who was giving him direction and directing the course of his administration. Let me tell you, good Bible theology is a must if you're going to be usable to God in this business of the kingdom and in protecting a people like America and the nation of America. And so I'm calling you to prayer. I'm calling you to prayer. Do you understand? We need a band of prayer warriors all over this nation who will learn, and let me teach you if I have to, and there's many other preachers out there who preach the same, but let me teach you, since this is where I'm at and this is my duty, to pray until you pray in the Spirit. Pray until the anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon you. And pray until you touch heaven by the power of God. Let me read you something that is so powerful in the book of 2 Corinthians. I love this scripture. It's been a blessing to me through these years. Listen, for though we walk in the flesh, listen, we do not war after the flesh. Now, we are in a spiritual warfare, right? Everybody knows that. We're in a spiritual warfare, but we do not war. We who are going to fight this battle and win, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 and 5. You go read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 and 5. And he says very clearly, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not just human words. They're not just what we can produce in the flesh. They have a spiritual power. They are anointed. They are mighty through God. Notice that, through God, not of yourself, but through the power of God, to pulling down strong holds. Now, if you will hear that, and you will commit yourself to that, God will guide you from the point of your commitment as you pray until you will become a great prayer warrior. Now, you can ask me, how do I learn to pray in the Spirit? And I will answer. And I hope someone will ask that. And I will try to answer. But I promise you, the answer is with God. The answer is with the Holy Spirit having right away in your life until you are anointed with a spirit bigger than yourself, until something beyond this old flesh gets involved in the battle. I told someone this week who asked me a similar question, go read the book of Romans chapter 8. If we war in the flesh, then we're going to fail. But if we war in the Spirit, we're going to succeed. He that's after the flesh is limited by the flesh. Those who fight in the Spirit are mighty by the Spirit. That's just the fact of God's Word. And preachers, listen to me, ministers out there. I don't care what church you're part of. I'm calling you to pray until you pray in the power of the Spirit. And God will take care of it from that point. When you begin to really live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, you will become dynamite. You will become dynamic. God will get a hold of you, and God will do something magnificent in you. Now, let me talk to you. Listen to me now. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Let me go first to Romans 8 and read you a scripture there that is mighty powerful. Romans 8, let's read it together. Listen to me. If you want to turn in your Bible, go find it. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit can pray in you with a power far beyond your flesh. And I'm depending on it. I know, I have no question. We're fixing to see a move of God in the city of Charlotte, and we're going to see it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you live in the city, I'm calling you to become a part of a band of prayer and begin to truly cry out to God in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get on your knees and stay there long enough, and the Holy Spirit will teach you, and you will become a marvelous and mighty prayer warrior. And that's what I pray for. That's what I'm yearning over. That's what I'm starving for. Now, let me give you some reasons of the 15. I won't have time to talk about all of them. I'm doing that in our church, and we're studying that on Wednesday night. I preached last Sunday night on that very subject. That, by the way, DVD or CD is available if you'd like to have it. A whole message on the very idea of praying in the power of the Spirit. But number one, the reason we need to pray in the Spirit is because we're humanly weak. Human weakness is our frailty. It doesn't matter how saintly you are, you still see through a glass darkly. And that was point two. It doesn't matter. You may be a saint of God or walking with God wonderfully, but you still see through a glass darkly. We're human. We are not super dupers. We're not supermen or superwomen. We're men and women who trust in God, who depend on the Holy Spirit. We do not trust in ourselves. I'm here to tell you, Joe Chambers does not trust in himself. I'm depending on the Lord. Well, those first two reasons. We are humanly weak. We have human weaknesses. Number two, we see through a glass darkly, so we don't know and understand everything. Number three, the needs of the kingdom of God, and the needs of people all around us are too far for your flesh to grasp them. You may know a little bit about somebody, but you don't know the in-depth things about those around you, but the Holy Spirit does. So when you learn to pray in the Spirit, you can pray for needs that you don't even understand, and you don't even know are existing, but the Holy Spirit can use you to pull down those strongholds, to cast down those dark powers, and to see a mighty breaking through of God's love and God's anointing and God's breath. So the needs in the kingdom and the needs around you. And then number four, our battle is spiritual. Our battle is not in the flesh. But the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, spiritual powers in high places. You understand, this is a spiritual war we are in, and it's really urgent. In urgency right now. We're at a time where America is either going to arise above it or fall. The next 12 months will probably decide whether we come out of what we're in or whether we don't and just go deeper. And you may say, well, I think it's God's will to go deeper. Well, I'm not fatalistic, and I don't never give myself to fatalism. I'm going to fight for the right and fight for the best and pray for victories and pray for a triumph of the right and the true and the pure and the holy. Until I'm gone, I'm going to be working for the right and working for the good, and I'm going to be doing my best to save America from what is happening to us, and to see a turnaround of the moral decay and the cultural bankruptcy and the failure to walk with God. And I'm praying for political leaders. I'm praying for the right man to win the nomination of the Republican Party, because it's very evident nobody right's going to win the one of the Democrat Party. That's for sure. I mean, when you look at Sanders versus Hillary, what do you think? That's a hopeless case there. But there is some hope within the Republican arena, not because they're Republicans, but because they're conservative, or at least they're thinking conservative. And you better pray. You better not just choose somebody without doing some tall praying. And don't listen to the powers that be in political circles, because I have very little confidence in the mainstream of politics in America. Very little confidence, almost none. I'm kind of like Franklin Graham, ready to completely deny my membership in a political party and just go independent. And maybe the reason I won't is because I want to vote in the primaries. But I'm here to tell you, it's a dark hour. Are you hearing me? Now, listen, I'm just doing a lot of talking, but I got some good things to talk about. And I'm here to tell you, you need to learn to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Chambers, I don't even understand that. Well, get on your knees and get your Bible and open to the book of Acts and then open to the book of Romans. And you read that scripture carefully and slowly and let it sink in. The book of Acts is a model of the New Testament church. The book of Acts is a model of the New Testament church. I mean, that's just the model. If you don't believe in the model, you have very little hope of ever praying in the Spirit, because it's got to be biblical, and you got to build it on the faith of the Bible. The book of Jude. Now, Jude was a brother, remember, a half-brother of Jesus Christ. The man that wrote the book of Jude, little book, one chapter, but he was a half-brother of Jesus Christ. Born of Mary and Joseph after Jesus had been born, because Mary knew no man until after Jesus was born. And then she had children. James, one named James, one named Jude. I do not know other names. I don't think they're ever recorded in the Bible, but I can tell you that Jude knew what he was talking about when he said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You go to Jude and read that verse 20-something. He said very clearly, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, if Jude said that, there's some real strength in it, my friend. And don't you just throw the Bible out like it's a waste product. And don't try to say, well, I don't believe in that part of the scripture or that part of the book of James ought not to have been in there. The book of Jude, that's what some people say when they read things that they don't like. Let me tell you, the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Right from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, the pure, infallible Word of God. And you need to dedicate yourself and then let God teach you to pray in the Spirit. Now, I've got to open the lines here, and so I'm doing so. Listen, jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. Let me get to the website here so I can see where we are. I have to be careful, because sometimes I can hit the wrong wrong thing, and I can mess up things, and I don't want to do that, okay? Now, the lines are open. I'm looking for you to email me or call me, whichever. Email me or call me. Here's the question, Revelation 5 and 8. Why doesn't God answer all prayers of the saints instead of leaving them in the seventh seal book? Why doesn't God answer all the prayers of the saints, but leaves them in the seven-sealed book of Revelation, I believe it's chapter 8. Well, let me tell you something, friend. You listen to me. God knows what he's doing. And when I pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. You see, that thy kingdom come can't be fulfilled now. It can only be fulfilled when the millennial kingdom comes to the earth. Did you know that? The millennial kingdom is the fulfillment of a part of that prayer, of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of that has to do not only with now, and some degree of it can be fulfilled now, but the ultimate degree of that second verse of the Lord's Prayer cannot be fulfilled until Jesus sets up the kingdom on the earth. Satan is the god of this world, and the will of God can be done in many places under circumstances when the enemy has been defeated. But God does these things through the prayers of his saints and through the power of his believers. And so we need prayer warriors. We need prayer warriors. Now, I want you to have these 15 reasons. They're in the article I'm giving you today. Okay, the article is named 15 Reasons Why I'm Dedicated to Praying in the Spirit. Now, it doesn't just deal with praying in the Spirit. It deals with the whole business of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The whole business. Did you know, even into the 4th century of the early church, after the death of Christ, they were still talking about the ministry and the gifts of the Holy Ghost? This is not something relegated only to the beginning of the church in the book of Acts. This is for today. If that day needed it, this day sure does need it. You understand that, okay? That's a good question. I hope you heard that. The reason it wasn't answered then or now is because that was a part that will be really fulfilled when Jesus comes back. Excuse me, and sets up his kingdom on the earth. God has a great plan, and he knows what he's doing. Now, grab your phone. I want to hear people anywhere and everywhere. I want to answer your questions. Where are the telephone calls? Now, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, let me give you some other reasons. Our battle is spiritual. You got that? That was number 4. Number 5, the highest form of prayer is when God anoints you and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you pray in the Spirit. That's the highest form of prayer there is on the face of this earth. There is no power like it. You want to know why the early church turned the world upside down? Was because they were mighty in prayer. I mean, they were driven by prayer. The Holy Spirit was upon them with great power. Apostle Paul said, I pray with the Spirit, and I pray with the understanding. He said, I sing in the Spirit, and I sing with the understanding. I've been in Pentecost over 60 years, and I remember in the early days, the first 30 years of my experience in Pentecostal churches was just dynamic. People were being saved. You'd have a revival, and 30 and 40 would get saved in a revival. And it was magnificent. It was wonderful. Go to the camp meetings, and the place couldn't seat them. There was many outside as there was inside. And the Spirit of God was mighty and real. Great preachers like Ray H. Hughes and Wade H. Horton and many others. And these men, when they preached, brother, they'd been on their face. They'd been waiting on God. They'd fast and pray sometimes a week and 2 weeks, just getting ready for a camp meeting or for the general assembly, because they were men of great power. So the highest form of prayer is praying in the Spirit. The only prayer that is beyond Satan's reach is praying in the spirit. As long as your praying is in your flesh, listen to me now, as long as your praying is only in your flesh, the enemy can know everything you're saying and can react to all of your prayers, even as you are praying. And I've been in that condition. I know what that is. The enemy can really come against you when you start praying. But when you move beyond just the flesh and you pray in the spirit, and the anointing of God is upon you. You're talking about dynamite power. You're talking about dynamic. Am I getting through to anybody? Is somebody out there that thinks I'm a little bit off? Please call me. Please call me. If you'll be honest now and just share and be kind. You know, I'm not here to take calls from somebody that wants just to do an argument and quote some scripture out of context. But if you got a good question and I can help you, I would love it. See, I know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't get on this program and worldwide try to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit if I didn't know what I was talking about. The only prayer beyond Satan's reach is praying in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, you reach a level of consecration that our Father helps you with, and is beyond the power of flesh. You really can pray bigger and greater than the capacity of your flesh. The flesh is limited, very limited, but praying in the Spirit, you pray beyond the power of the flesh. And it's a powerful way of waiting on God. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those are the words of Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord. There's no way of waiting upon God in prayer that is more powerful and life-changing than praying in the Spirit. It's a powerful way of waiting on God for the revelations of God, to get the deep truths of God, to understand what's going to happen in our world. Do you know the rapture is about to take place? Do you know all of this ISIS and the rise of this Muslim world, this Allah world, this world of worship and Allah, the Muslim religion? It's right out of the pit of hell, my friend. But God has got the answer, and you can find it in in Ezekiel 38 and 39, because this whole crowd's going to march against Jerusalem, and God's going to firebomb them. And God is going to move upon those nations and even the capitals of places like Russia and Iran and many others are going to be firebombed into absolute non-existence. We are talking about a mighty judgment of God. But people in the political world don't understand none of this. Maybe one or two. And they're scared to talk about it. Well, I'm not scared to talk about it. I'm here to tell you, post-millennialism is a joke. Post-millennialism is a joke of religious error, of religious heresy. Do you hear me? The truth is, Jesus is coming, and 7 years of the tribulation, and then the great millennial reign of the kingdom of Christ. Oh, what a shock this world is in for. What a shock America's politicians are in for. What a shock the whole globe is in for when God begins to fulfill the glorious truths of this Bible. But I'm concerned about the time between now and then. And then I'm praying for somebody in the White House in Washington. I'm praying for somebody in our state governments, our governor right here in North Carolina from this city, who's a Republican, and he vetoed the bill to exempt judges and magistrates from having to perform same-sex marriage. He vetoed it. And thank God we had enough people in both the Republican and Democrat representatives in Raleigh to override his veto. And I'm grateful we did. But what's wrong with that kind of people in our political circles? We don't need them there. We need to replace them with somebody who believes this Bible and somebody who has some degree of understanding of America's culture in the past, Judeo-Christian culture and standards and morality and right and wrong. Oh, I'm praying for America. I'm praying for America. I'm praying for political leaders. I'm calling on you to join me. Hey, my lines are open, 1-800-338-7884. Now, we're halfway through, And I want you to call to get this booklet, okay? I want you to grab your phone to call to get this booklet that I'm making available to you today. 15 reasons why I'm utterly dedicated to praying in the Spirit. How many of you will call quickly? Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884-704-391-0588. And what is your question? What is your question? I will be delighted. I need questions on the internet and by phone because I want you to get this message. I want you to understand it. How many out there are committed to praying in the Spirit? Let's hear from a couple of people who know the power of praying in the Spirit. And you can tell us the difference it has made in your life. And the way you've prayed and really got results. Most praying today is not being answered. I mean, we all know that. I mean, we've been praying about the same-sex marriage of a juggernaut that's coming against America. Have we turned it around? No, not at all. Look how deep it's going. Look how deep it's going. Our airport right here in Charlotte by the city council of this city has opened it up to where transvestites can choose the bathroom of what they think is their gender. They don't like what their body says, so they've got in their mind a different gender. And so a man who thinks he's a woman can go into the ladies' bathroom right here in Charlotte at the Douglas Airport. Now, the insanity of our leaders that would vote for such a thing and would lie such a thing is because they know nothing about this holy book. And if we don't pray and get a hold of God and see a breaking in of these forces, then how in the world can we change the situation? Now, the lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local. Everybody within driving distance of right here in Charlotte, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Now, I want to tell you what I'm preaching in the morning. I'm really excited. The Holy Spirit really poured this into my heart. And listen. Why faith can see the invisible. Faith can see the invisible. When faith can see the invisible. When you can pray. When you can pray. I love it. I was reading this wonderful scripture in the book of Hebrews. And listen to this. It says of Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, that's where praying in the Spirit grows out of that kind of devotion to God, that you choose rather to be a part of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, it says, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, as seeing him who is invisible. Notice that scripture. As seeing, that's where I'm preaching from in the morning. As seeing him who is invisible. When faith will enable you to see the invisible. When faith will enable you to believe for the spiritual and to move into the realm of great victory and become a great servant of Almighty God and great victories in your life. Now, the lines are open, some of them, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Want to hear from you. You're important. I want you on the air with me, and I want to answer your question, and we've got 24 minutes now, so let's have your phone calls. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and then let's see here if we can, hey, here says lunch. Well, now, we're talking about lunch. Pastor, can I meet with you tomorrow? Pastor, can I meet with you tomorrow at Cracker Barrel? Now, I don't know who this is. Let's see who it is. Bob Reynolds. Okay, Bob. Yes, we'll meet with you tomorrow. We'll talk about the things of God, okay? But that's not a good question to get to in a radio program. Well, listen, questions about the great truth of God's Word. How many of you believe in praying until you're anointed by the Holy Spirit to pray? Let me see your hand out there. How many of you have ever prayed under the sweetness of God, came into your room, and you prayed? And, excuse me, didn't mean to do that in your face, but you pray. Well, my gracious. Well, you know, that's okay. I'm getting the message over, and I got your attention with that, didn't I? Hey, let me hear from you. How many of you believe you've experienced praying until you were mightily anointed of the Holy Spirit? I would like to hear from you. I'd like to have some testimonies. There's a lot of old-fashioned Pentecostals in this city. Some of you have left off the life you used to know, living and praying and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now you're in a lukewarm state. Well, it's dangerous to live in a lukewarm state. I guess you know that. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I've got more reasons here why I believe in praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit builds up a bulwark of power in your human spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you build up yourself. That's what Jude said. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How many have ever studied that verse of Scripture? Jude now, the book of Jude, the last book before Revelation, and he said very plainly to us that we were to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, if Jude said that, the half-brother of our Lord, you know that is truth. That is truth that you cannot deny, you cannot escape. If you don't obey it, you will suffer the weakness as the result of it, because there's power in praying in the Spirit. I hope I'm getting through to Pentecostal people and Baptist people and Lutherans and Presbyterians and even Catholics. It don't matter with me who you are. You get on your knees and you open the old book in front of you. I suggest it be a King James Version, because that way you'll get the pure Word of God that comes straight from the original Textus Receptus, okay? And you get in there and you read. Go to the book of Romans and read the whole book, but especially chapter 8. And then go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14. And then go to the book of Acts and just get in that scripture and say, Father, I'm willing to believe every word in this Bible. Every word. I'm willing to believe it. And you show it to me and you help me understand it. You give me interpretation of it, and you watch what begins to happen in your life. Something is going to start taking place. Let me go to some other powers of prayer. Well, let me take a phone call. The lines are open, okay? I really want to be a blessing to you. I cannot tell you how desirous I am to be a blessing. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I was wondering. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Why didn't he say pray for the secret rapture before tribulation, reckon?
Now, you know, I told you not to call again because you are dead set against that, and I don't have any desire. Our people are supposed to not let you through. I'm in the process of blocking you because that's all you know how to argue about. And I'm sorry. That's very sad. Call us quickly, 1-800-338. This is a man from Arkansas. For 4 weeks, he called 2, 3, 4 times every week, and we finally cut him off, and he got through somehow. My dear people did not see his number, but it's there, and we're in the process of blocking it, and we'll have that done this week. All he wants to do is argue about the pre-trib rapture. Bless his pitiful heart. Wow. How the highest praise of praise known to man, the highest level of praise known to man is when you praise God in prayer by the power of the Spirit. That's the highest power known to man. That's the highest power known to man. And that's the place where when you pray in the Spirit, it's the place where the Holy Spirit can move upon you in power and grace and make known His wonderful power and wonderful love to you. It's wonderful. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, I'm a new Christian. I was wondering, I always have thought, like, praying in the Spirit, how is that different than praying in tongues? I thought that was the same thing.
It is the same thing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I'm just using the term praying in the spirit because that's what it is. And if you just emphasize the tongues, it turns people off. And I don't want to turn nobody off. I want to help people learn to get on their knees and stay there. The old Methodists used to do it. You can read in the book of Methodist people, and they'd pray until the Holy Spirit would overshadow them, and they'd begin to pray in languages they'd never learned. And the Methodists didn't know how to understand it. Nobody ever could tell them what was going on, but they were just praying in the power of the Spirit. And great men have done this. Dwight Moody tells a story of being in some places in revival in his day when people would come under the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's why they had revival. It's because these people were praying until they prayed in the Spirit.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, some of my fellows grew up in a Baptist church, and I guess they get confused. Or I know Baptists, it's different than...
Well, we're not... We just want to get people praying. We don't care what church they're from. And I know, if you get people praying, and they pray until they move into the Spirit, everything else will take care of itself.
Right, okay. So tongues are for... They are for today, then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got a note in this article I'm sending out. Augustine, you know the name of Augustine. He's a great force of theology in the Catholic Church. He's also a great force of theology in the Presbyterians, the post-millennials and the Presbyterian. And he said, and he died in 430, by the way, 430 A.D. That's about 400 years after Jesus was crucified. Who can expect in these days that those on whom hands are laid, that they may receive the Holy Spirit? Who can expect it, he said. And that was 400 years after Christ was crucified, and they still believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm an old-fashioned Pentecostal, and what I want to see is people who are under the anointing and pray until the Spirit of God takes hold of them. So give yourself to prayer like that, will you?
Okay, thank you. I will.
Do you understand now what I said?
Yes, I do.
Did you order this article that I'm giving away today?
Oh, I didn't order.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. You are on line one, I believe it is. I'm going to put you on hold, and they will answer. Ladies, gentlemen, answer one for me, please. And you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I have a question. My name is Alvin from Princeton, West Virginia.
Hey, my brother.
Matter of fact, I've got two of them.
Okay, let's hear them.
One is, doesn't America got to cease to be the leading nation of this world order for the Antichrist to come in?
There's nothing in the Bible that would suggest that.
Well, I understand that.
So, I mean, why would we have... We have been the one nation that stood for Israel. Now, we don't right now because of Obama. But we will again as soon as we get a good new president. I pray. I'm praying for that. Now, I don't know that, but I'm praying for that. We're here one reason for Israel. When that great horde of Gog and Magog marches on Israel, they really won't need us, but I sure would like for us to be there.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
What was your other question?
Well, it was more or less about the Obama, that I felt that he was a forerunner for the Antichrist to take place.
There is no question he's one of the forerunners, but there's more than one, and that doesn't mean we got to be destroyed just because we've had Obama. He's tried to destroy us, but he's not going to succeed. Jesus is going to take care of that, and if we can get a good man, a good person in that presidency this year, oh, we're in 16, aren't we? I mean, we're desperate, and we don't need some ruling class person out of Washington. We don't need somebody who's in the mainstreams of politics. We've had enough for that to destroy 10 nations like ours.
Amen.
We need somebody who is not a part of the establishment. I said this to a man in Raleigh last night, and I stirred him up bad. And he's one of my dear friends. And he really, really was bothered at me. But, I can't do anything about it. We've got to have somebody that's not part of the establishment. We don't need another Bush. And we don't need somebody else that is entrenched in the political powers of Washington or their state. We need somebody who is fresh and committed and full of fire to turn this nation around.
Amen. I agree with you.
God bless you. God bless you. Call us quickly. Thank you, my friend. Hey, we are in a dark hour. And I'm telling you, prayer is the only thing going to save America. And I think I'm getting through today. I want you to learn to pray in the Spirit. And regardless, if you're in a denomination that knows nothing about Pentecostal power, just go home and find your prayer closet and get on your knees and open your Bible and just believe the Bible. Just believe the Bible. Read the book of Acts. Read the book of Romans. Read the book of 1 Corinthians. Read the book of 2 Corinthians. Read the book of Revelation. And pray until the Holy Spirit comes into your prayer closet, comes into your prayer room, and begins to move upon you, and then yield to that Spirit of the Lord. He'll never honor anything but Jesus in your life. He will never honor anything but Jesus. And I tell people all the time, you get good and sanctified. You get this old flesh put under control. You be able to say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, he lives, not I. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And you get sanctified, and you can't keep the Holy Ghost out. You cannot keep the Holy Ghost out of a truly born again, sanctified, godly vessel of a believer. I don't care what their background is. Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, it don't matter. You just get you an altar and you pray till God's Spirit comes upon you and anoints you. Believe this Bible and start living a godly life, and he'll fill you with the power to prayer, and you will start turning your community, your home, and even your church upside down. They may put you out. If they do, come on to Paul Creek, okay? I'd rather you stay there and turn that place upside down, to be real honest with you. But most places, that's going to be impossible because the preacher's not going to allow it. But we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Anybody doubt that? No. Nobody out there could doubt it. There's no way for you to doubt that if something doesn't happen genuine and mighty from God, this nation is gone. And if something doesn't happen, our churches are gone. I've got statistics right now that Pew, P-E-W, that's a company that searches out information in the church world, and almost every denomination, the Baptists, I think it was 25% of them now, believe the same-sex marriage is acceptable in the Christian life. And the same was true with the Pentecostal churches. I was overwhelmed. I'm going to try to get those statistics on the webpage this coming week so you can see them. They're overwhelming. My friend, we need a revival. Can I get a team of prayer warriors started? Can I get you to find you a place and start praying like you've never prayed before? Hey, the lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The local number is 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And I want to say again, in case you missed it, the Republican Party in the United States is in a do-or-die circumstance. There is the establishment in Washington, and they're determined to control who gets that nomination. There's three or four candidates who are out there running, and they're at the top of the list, and they're determined to get elected in spite of the establishment in Washington. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't vote with the establishment in Washington for nothing that they projected, because they have failed over and over and over, and they've allowed 8 years of Obama to go unchecked. Though we voted enough to take over the Senate and the House, yet they've not stood up for us. And I say, give us somebody who will just stand on the issues and once again fight for America and for us who are out here in the trenches paying our taxes and doing our jobs. I say, God help us, and I believe he's going to. I'm on my face. 15 reasons. It's in this article now. You need to get it. You've got to have this article on 15 reasons why I am dedicated to praying in the Spirit. And I'm not emphasizing any particular theology. I just want to get people praying until the Spirit of God comes upon them, until the anointing of God takes hold of them, until tears are streaming down some cheeks. Remember the old prophet Jeremiah who said, oh, that my head was water and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. I'm committed to being a Jeremiah of prayer, weeping and sobbing before God until this nation is turned around. All right, we have any questions here? We have any calls? Hey, there's time for you to call. Call the number 704-304-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Oh, good questions that I'd like to hear about praying until the Spirit prays. Praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the couple of emails I've got, and I thank you for the calls, but there's time for you to call and give your testimony. Tell us why you believe in praying in the Spirit. Join me in talking about this wonderful experience of being filled with God's Spirit until the Holy Spirit becomes the power of heaven in your life, until you can teach and witness and lead your family to Christ, and pray in your home until your children come under conviction and start getting saved. Do you realize, my dear friend, the power that's available to you in the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that? Do you realize you can become dynamite? You can become dynamite for the Lord. Hey, grab your phone. Hey, a place where the Spirit can weep. And then number 14, the Spirit will search out your heart and sanctify you. Did you know that every one of us have little things hidden away in our lives that if we could be cleansed from them, we'd become much more powerful for the Lord and much more holy in our walk? I mean, we've got people who sit in our churches that are good people. They're good people. They live a good life, but they have little petty things, jealousy and envy. And if they don't like something, they get all upset and carry it for weeks and weeks and weeks. If somebody bothers them, they can't forgive them. All kinds of little petty things that flood our churches. You begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. You begin to wait on your knees with God, and He'll start convicting you of little things in here that needs to go. And you'll find yourself much more gentle and much more tender. You won't be so quick to find fault with your preacher. You won't be so quick to find fault with your neighbor. You won't be so quick to yell at your husband or your wife. You won't be so quick to rave at your children. You'll be able to discipline them with a gentleness and a loveliness, because the Holy Spirit will change everything about you. I am talking about praying in the power of the Holy Spirit until everything about you is changed, and then God in you begins to change the world around you. The last of these is praying in the Spirit is a place where the Holy Spirit's gifts can be manifest and unleashed in your life. I don't know about you, but I'm praying for the gifts of healing. There are many out there sick, and there's not much medical help for you today. Obamacare has robbed America of some of its choices, capacities in the health divisions of our nation. And I'm praying that all of this can be turned around, but it's going to take praying. And I need you helping me. I need you joining me. I need you praying with me. We just don't have enough old-fashioned prayer warriors. Too much of our praying is really not much more than just having a conversation with a neighbor. You don't pray until there's a power of God upon you. You don't pray until the Holy Spirit. See, you are human. I am human. We are limited. We have a limited kind of spiritual power. Very limited. And only that part we have is what the Spirit makes real in us. And I'm calling on you to become a spiritual person. To get a spiritual anointing upon your life. You go back and hear Dwight Moody. And you go back, listen to Billy Graham when he preached in the 57s. I've been listening to some of his 57, 58 sermons. 1957, 1958. I'd only been saved 4 or 5 years, and here I am 80 Tuesday week. But I was just a young Christian. He was just a little ahead of me, about 10, 12 years, 15 years. I'm not sure now. I believe he's 95. I'm 80. He's 15 years ahead of me. But boy, did he preach. I endorsed his meetings back in those days and helped people go to them because he preached the word. I mean, I heard a sermon the other day preaching about people getting saved and getting right with God and being born again, warning them if they were indifferent and lukewarm, they couldn't go in the rapture. And I thought, whoa, that's what I preach. And it thrilled my heart. Listen, we need a move of the Holy Ghost. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. Are you willing to help me? Are you willing to get in there and start praying? Will you start praying for your church? Call a prayer meeting at your church. Call an all-night prayer meeting, will you? All right, the number, 704-391-0588. Now, we'd love to have you in church tomorrow. I'm preaching tomorrow. Now, listen to this. When faith can see the invisible. And I read the text in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. You read verses, if you would, 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28. You read those verses. Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. You read them. You'll want to come hear me preach in the morning. And it'll be great to have you. We're having new people every service. We're grateful for, well, not every service, every week. We're grateful for that. And we'd love to have you. We really would. If you are an old-fashioned Pentecostal and you go to a church that no longer is there a move of the Holy Ghost, it's just a, you know, just a preacher-controlled service and everything is all, you know, under the control of the powers that be and there's no breath of the Holy Spirit, there's no visitation of God's Holy Ghost. You need to find a church where the Holy Spirit's at work. And you need to become a spirit-filled believer, full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. You can be healed. We pray for the sick and we see the sick healed. Oh, I'm thrilled of the miracles I've seen in my life. But I want to see more than I've ever seen before. And I'm believing for that. I really am. Now, this has been a good program. I know that I have talked to a lot of people. I know that many of you have listened to me. I don't know that all of you have. I'm sure not. But just don't take my word. Go to the Bible. Read the book of Acts. Read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14. Read the book of Romans chapter 8. And just read them slowly. Let every word sink in. And you may find that you are wonderfully lacking. Terribly lacking would be a better word, not wonderfully. Terribly lacking in your spiritual life, but it doesn't have to continue that way. You can get move into the realm of spiritual life, spiritual power that will change everything about you. Now, the Lord's given us a wonderful December. Thank you for the many people out there who begin to support us financially. It's been a better month. Please continue that for January. And if you're not a supporter, you ought to be. You'll be a part of this ministry. Call right now, and they'll send you an envelope. We won't dun you. We won't try to talk you into anything. We'll just love you. We'll make material available to you. I get so many calls from people. We are blessing, and I'm excited about it. I really am. But we want to bless every one of you. We want you to get spiritual and wake up to the spiritual realm. Get on fire for God. Let God fill you with His sweet spirit and change everything about you. I'm here to tell you, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. Now, we're going to go listen to some more of that song about Jerusalem. I love it. Hey, call us 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you now. I'll be right here doing my best to minister to you, to help you, to be a blessing to you. If I can pray for somebody that needs a miracle of healing, I'll be glad to do that. I care about you, and I care much about you. I really do, and I'm praying for you. And I'll tell you what, don't you miss next week. God in His mighty power is going to do wonderful things for this ministry, and I am most excited about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And bless His name. And bless His name. I'll tell you, I love Him in His grace and in His power.
And once again, the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, and the gates were open wide, and onward might enter. Was denied. No need of moon and stars by night and sun to shine by day. It was the New Jerusalem that was.